Amnesty International's Australian section decided to build this replica cell. They toured it around Australia, and then we thought it would be a good idea to bring it around the United States.
Curious to find out, what type of reaction did it get in Australia?
Pretty much the same here. You've got people who agree with us and believe that Guantanamo should be closed down and the system of illegal detention the U.S. has put in place dismantled. And then there's people who feel very strongly that these people are terrorists and they deserve to be locked up in worse places than this. So we really get, you know, both sides. People are usually amazed at how small it is and how isolating it feels. And then when you throw in, the facts that we give them about how long people have been detained without charge and that they've been denied fundamental legal rights, and many have said that they've been abused and tortured, people really start to feel that this is not the way the United States should be fighting terrorism. Right now, we're trying to figure out where we should take it next. We've got some options on the table, and we're just trying to see what we can afford to do. We're hoping to take it to the two conventions and to St. Louis and across the United States to Los Angeles, hopefully.
My family works in the government, and so I had 4 hours to drive, and I saw this and thought it was really interesting. I thought I'd come see how it was. So,
actually, why don't we step inside? We'll step inside the actual cell itself. What are your initial thoughts?
My initial thought is that for a country that, you know, we strive so hard to, you know, fair punishment, fair trials, just a free country, and we really are holding people in a very unjust and undemocratic way. And I think it's really sad, and I think we try to hide it. But I think sometimes it's just unreal. So,
what do you think that experience would be like, just being in here for a couple of minutes?
I think it's incredibly unfortunate, and I think it's made to drive someone crazy. I think that they're not trying to do it that's like the only way to hold them. You know, I think that they're trying to do it because they know it'll drive them crazy, and I think they're trying to be unfair. I think it's a very eye-opening experience. I think the U.S. government tries to hide it and make this kind of a secretive thing, but I think the realities of it are really, really eye-opening and not fair. I'm from Georgia.
I don't know. It's kind of like, I think it's like it doesn't really explain the horror that they go through as much. You know, just have like a small room. I think it's really a lot worse, you know. I know a lot about torture tactics and stuff like that, and I feel like it just doesn't really kind of adequately show, like, the type of, like, mental abuses and things like that. So it's great that you're doing the display.
To be that confined, I can't imagine it being very pleasant, but being held without charges, I don't like the idea of it personally, you know, and this whole thing, this whole terrorist, I mean, I don't want to be blown up, so.
It's an interesting, I think it's a really important issue right now, obviously, in this country and in the world's eyes, what we're doing with these people. And I would like to be more educated than I am about it right now, and I figured that the people here, I already spoke with Muhammad a little bit, the people here obviously know quite a bit more about this than I do, and I think that, you know, by gaining more knowledge about this, I'll be able to hopefully in the future make some change, if it ever comes to that.
And what was it like to stand in there?
I mean, kind of like I was saying to Muhammad when I was inside there, I can't really put myself in the mindset, I mean, of the people who are in there, who are in the cells on Guantanamo. I've thought about this when I've gone into, you know, mock prison cells, whether or not it has to do with U.S. incarceration or quote-unquote detainee incarceration in Guantanamo. It was nice to go in, I guess, but I know that it was nothing compared to what those guys are feeling down there. I think that although it's important to see this physical replica of what they look like down there, the injustice in my mind, from the limited amount I know about this, is not based on the physical confinement necessarily and the how the cells are, but rather just the condition, the legal reasons why they're down there, and what Muhammad was telling me before, and what I guess we all kind of know about this, their lack of an appeals process or even any type of what I consider a fair trial. in our country.
That's
so
more
that's
impressive to you.
Yeah, well, that's more of a pressing issue. I mean, we have guys in our country that are in cells like this, a lot of them, and they not that our criminal justice system is fair by any means, but compared to what's going on down there, I think comparing those two things, I think what's really pressing is the legal problems that we have down in Guantanamo, or lack thereof, I guess. Not necessarily the physical confines. So as I did want to see this, and this is one of the main reasons I came out. I'm a fan of Amnesty International. I think they do great work, especially today. It feels like their presence is really important, considering the things our administration has been doing, and I'm sure it always will be. There's always going to be injustices going on around the world. I had a few spare moments, and I thought I'd come by, and I'm glad I did. Can't imagine that it would be anything compared to just the involuntary detention in Cuba. I think, you know, whether or not they're in a nice cell or a big cell or a small cell, and obviously this is a small, not nice cell, but a government, in fact, the world power at this point in world history, confining people without legal process. That is what I think would really tear at my heart if I was down there.
All righty. Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, relate just your experience just being inside the cell. What was it like for you?
It really makes vivid the circumstances of detention that hundreds of people are going through and continue to go through without the means to challenge their confinement. I mean, this is actually a lot more spacious than most of the cells that that most folks at Guantanamo are subjected to, and of course, I go inside, I see what it's like, and I'm free to leave. That is very different than what most people are subjected to in Guantanamo Bay.
What do you think it kind of does to a person to be in that type of confinement in that situation?
It's dehumanizing. It's a violation of human dignity. I mean, it's a basic human right if one is confined, detained. It's a basic human right to be able to challenge that detention. And people at Guantanamo Bay don't have that right.
Well, I can tell you it's about 6 feet because I lie down on the bed and I'm 6 feet tall and my head hit the side of the wall there, so I can't even lay flat down. I don't know. I would not want to spend 23 hours of my day in here, and especially if I didn't even know I was here, it would just make me depressed and make me want to kill myself. And after I did get out, if I ever did get out, it would make me very angry with whoever put me in here.
Talk about what you think it would impact, I mean, your family as well, if you were in here for years. No charges being brought. How would that impact you and your family as well?
It would probably turn everyone I knew against whoever put me in Guantanamo, obviously the American government. And most immediately, that would make my family angry at the American soldiers in Iraq or in Afghanistan or wherever they are in the world. And I think places like this, well, I guess this place in particular, but also situations like Abu Ghraib are just awful for our image around the entire world. And I think the Bush administration has put a blight on America, and for the next, I don't know, 100, 200 years, it's going to be just awful for the American image. And I think this probably, in the end, will make more terrorists than it does to eliminate them.
Part of the setup in this cell is that you can actually record a video message for YouTube for the president. Did you end up doing that today?
Nope. I didn't want to stay in here that long.
Is there a message that you would send to not only this president, but actually the next president coming up?
The first thing that I would do if I were elected president, and that I would like to see Barack Obama do, is just to apologize to the world for all the things that the Bush administration has done, and to say that that's not how most of America feels, and that was only a very select group of people making those decisions, and we are sorry. That is not how America feels.
One of the things that I saw you lay down on this bed that they have, which is basically cut out of the wall, and there is a, what, maybe inch mattress on it?
About an inch mattress, yes. And I guess what I thought was, it's so short, I wondered if I could actually lay down on it without hitting my head, and I just barely fit. And I'm not 6 feet tall even, so I'm about 5'11", so I thought, that's not much of a bed. My other thoughts were, I've done a lot of reading about what goes on at Gitmo, and to actually step into a facsimile of a Gitmo cage is a little bit more of a way to connect to the people who, you know, as just as a person, as a compassionate person who cares about human rights, I can connect with the people who are being held there, 50% of whom, according to the Pentagon, are innocent of any crime, unaffiliated with any terrorist group. And to me, this is a great injustice that hurts America and does not make us safer.
So what would you think, just being in here for a couple of minutes, as opposed to the people who are in here 23 hours a day for years, who don't have any charges against them, have no idea when they may be released?
I guess my first thought is, it's claustrophobic, and to think that if I were in here for year in, year out, and to think that these walls would be what I'd be looking at for the rest of my life, potentially, since they haven't been offered any hope of due process, I just thought of how miserable that would be.
And is there anything else that you would want to relay about your experience of just being in the Guantanamo cell?
It's hot. It's very hot in here. It's very uncomfortable in here. And I think treating somebody even who's guilty of something in a situation like this is wrong.
So this is, well, someone can come in and make a video for YouTube?
Yeah, you can record a message to the president asking him to shut down Guantanamo, and also your response to having seen a cell and learned about what the center stands for. And it'll go on YouTube, and more people have access to see it. And hopefully the president as well.
So are these cells set up fundamentally for Islamic people?
They're set up for whoever's arrested in the war on terror.
Because I know that in Islam they can't worship, or they can't bow down towards the toilet.
Right.
So, I mean, is it set up fundamentally for that, or is it just kind of
I don't think that was taken into consideration when they built the cells.
So these are just, the people taken into custody are people that we have brought up on suspicion, and they're being held on suspicion only until we can get...
A lot of people were actually turned over
actual
charges. Because a bounty was placed, like, people, especially in small towns in Pakistan, were said, if you can turn in people who might be involved in Al-Qaeda or involved in our war on terror, we'll give you X amount of dollars. So a lot of people were just turning people over because they're so poor. So we have a lot of people who really, there's no basis for their detention in the cells.
So the reason we went and got them is because of somebody said, this person knows this person who knows this person who is
very
a terrorist.
Few of them were identified by the U.S. government before their detention.
Right. Yeah. So we actually, from Pakistan or Afghanistan or wherever, actually got help from the locals saying, we need your help. Point these people out for us.
Yeah.
So they pointed them out and then went and got them. Was there anybody who said, no, these people weren't involved? But yet we still took them anyway?
I think that most of the people, I mean, there wasn't kind of like, is this person really Al-Qaeda? It was someone's name was handed over and that person was collected without looking for any sort of real evidence other than someone in the town named one.
I was the Muslim chaplain assigned to Guantanamo Bay in late November 2002 through September of 2003. And this was a time when much of the abuse of prisoners in Guantanamo occurred. I was there for 10 months. I raised concerns about many of the abuses, about the horrible conditions of Guantanamo, the ages of some of the prisoners who were as young as 12 years old. And in return for challenging Bush policies of Guantanamo, I was then targeted myself, accused of being a spy, of engaging in espionage and aiding the suspected Taliban and Al-Qaeda prisoners in Guantanamo, and thrown in prison. I was locked away for 76 days in isolation at the Consolidated Naval Brig in Charleston, South Carolina, alongside noted U.S. citizen enemy combatants. The names we're familiar with, Jose Padilla, Yasser Hamdi, and others. I was there for 76 days until I was suddenly released. The military attempted to court-martial me, put me on trial for what they eventually charged me with, mishandling classified information. But in the end, even those charges would be dropped. My record would be wiped clean. I was reinstated as a Muslim chaplain, after which I would resign my commission, receive an honorable discharge, in addition to a second U.S. Army Commendation Medal for exceptional meritorious service. And today I've cut all ties to the military. I've documented my experience being in the military, being a third generation Chinese American born here in the United States, a graduate of West Point, who became a Muslim chaplain and then was wrongfully accused. The title of my book is called For God and Country, Faith and Patriotism Under Fire. And today I travel across the country lecturing about Guantanamo, human rights, and civil liberties issues, which are relevant to everyone in this country. This is a replica of a cell in what's known as Camp 5 or Camp 6 in Guantanamo. Those facilities did not exist when I was in Guantanamo. When I was there, prisoners were held in open-air cell-like cages in what's known as Camp Delta. These facilities came much later, in which millions of dollars was poured into Guantanamo to build these much more permanent facilities in which the cells keep the prisoner in a much more isolated environment. But I am very familiar with what it's like to live in this cell, because I myself was jailed in a cell similar to this in Charleston, South Carolina at the Consolidated Naval Brig. The only difference really between this cell and the one that I was in is that the toilet and sink facility was made of porcelain instead of the steel that you have here. And in the cell I was kept, there were two cameras keeping me under surveillance 24 hours a day. Of course, there are no surveillance cameras in this cell. No one can really imagine what it's like to be held indefinitely for going on 7 years now. Guantanamo Bay, Cuba has been in existence now for over 6 years, well into its seventh year, in which prisoners are essentially locked away in this legal black hole. None of us can imagine what it's like to be held indefinitely without due process, without legal rights, without being able to see our attorneys when we need to, and being accused without being able to contest one's innocence because your habeas rights have been stripped away. All of this takes, in my view, a tremendous psychological and mental toll on a human being. And it's clear just from the amount of time I spent in Guantanamo, even in the very early stages of this infamous prison camp, the psychological abuse and the mental torment that these individuals have experienced.